Okay, community outreach.
Community outreach, I have a few things I wanted to touch on. You know, it's an exciting time of year in the community. Not only seeing the fruits of the district's labor, but also to celebrate the success and the work of so many. Congratulations to, of course, our graduates. Class of 2017, as the board had an opportunity to participate in an inspiring graduation, as we see our graduates going off to college, to local community colleges, to some to trade schools, some starting their careers. We congratulate all of them, and we say thank you and congratulate all of the teachers, the mentors, the advisors, the administrators, and all employees in the schools. It's because of your hard work that we're able to celebrate. To all, have a safe and enjoyable summer. The board participated in many ways in the year-end recognition ceremonies, including retirement gatherings to all of our Westlake City School family that are retiring. We thank you for being a part of this district, and we thank you for being a part of our family. Thank you for the lives you've changed and for the differences that you made. We had a spring sports ceremony, celebrated many achievements. The board had an opportunity to participate in that as well, along with recognizing the talents of our students and our sports program. We also recognized Ed Blair. Ed has been the president of the Westlake Demons Athletic Boosters. He has led them the last 4 years, so we say thank you to Ed Blair, and thank you, of course, to Sandy Blair. So much was achieved under your leadership, including the new turf field. Again, thank you. The board had an opportunity to attend a number of international baccalaureate capstone project exhibitions at our elementary schools. Fascinating, educating, exhilarating, and stimulating, they all were. We learned about inventions such as the chocolate chip cookie, the computer, robotics. We were reintroduced to artists like Michelangelo. The IB capstone project exhibitions also included Ms. Burke's fourth grade class, who invited the board for a continuation of their presentation from one of the last board meetings. The board attended the ultimate classroom exhibition presentation, which gave the board and the district some important information. The students' lines of inquiry led to research and collaboration, which led to an inspired action plan, which the board will use as we design our new elementary school. Congratulations again to the students who successfully wrote a grant for the project. A reminder that this week on Thursday and Friday is the Milestones Autism Resources annual, their annual convention, their annual symposium. Reminder that our own Tabitha Devine has been recognized as the Educator of the Year, and she'll be presented with an award on Thursday by Milestone. So congratulations to Tabitha Devine.
Well, thank you. Okay, and this brings us now to our treasurer's portion of the agenda.
Thank you. I do have three resolutions. I would like to have you vote on them, three separate ones, and I'll just go through each of them quickly for you. The first one, I have changing some of our seasonal worker pay. This is specifically for a resolution that we're going to have under Mr. Goggins regarding our summer cleaners. This is being changed for two reasons. One, our previous rates that we had with step zero, or the step system, but step zero was below current minimum wage, so that's obviously a problem. The second piece of that is earlier this school year, the district changed the sub rate for cleaners coming in to also, I believe it is that $9.50 an hour. So we'd like to pay at least that rate that we're paying the substitutes. So this would change it all from the step system to a flat rate. This was also spoken about in our finance committee meeting. So I know that the two gentlemen there are aware of it as well. We also have two other resolutions. One is a resolution to approve new air handlers at DIS. And if you look at DIS, I also have included on their public area a bid tabulation showing that we did receive two bids. But ultimately, this is replacing the heating, cooling, ventilation systems at DIS, or some of the units over there that need to be replaced, for just under $300,000. We also have the third resolution, which is a resolution to accept a bid for a new sidewalk for the tune of $73,000. You'll also see the bid tabulation and also the drawing showing where the sidewalk would be set up at. I want to go over real quickly with those two resolutions, the air handler and the Lee Burnison Middle School. That's about $400,000 in work between the two. This is being paid for through the funding that was set aside for the the middle school and high school project. After everything has been settled now with the architect and we've received settlement payments, we have several hundred thousand dollars still remaining in that fund. So these are two very appropriate expenditures being spent on that original project that we have the funds, and this is not pulling any funds out of general fund or our new permanent improvement fund.
Well, how cool is that?
Yeah. It's very cool.
And I have to say that I'm really pleased about adding that sidewalk at Burnison for safety issues.
Yes. Yeah.
And I know, and I just want to say to the credit of Mr. Kosovar, he's been wanting to do this for a while, but because that funding wasn't there, it wasn't feasible. But now that we've, you know, it was a long, drawn-out process, but now that that's happened, we do have those funds available, and we should spend them as they were from a bond issue, and we should spend them on what the project was originally intended for. So this is very appropriate appropriate expenditures.
Good to see that something they get value engineered out, get back in.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Okay, so you would like those all separate?
The first one could be combined, but I'd like the two bids separate because they are bid packages.
We'll do them separately. All right, is there a motion to approve item 4A?
So moved.
Second.
Any further discussion? Okay, roll call, please.
Winter?
Yes.
Finucane?
Yes.
Kraft?
Yes.
Lozinski?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, is there a motion to approve item 4B?
So moved.
Second.
I have Winter as a second.
Sure.
Any further discussion on the air handlers? Which I don't even know what they are, but
it's the heating and air conditioning.
Well, I know it had something to do with the air conditioning.
Yep.
It's got to be important. Okay. Roll call, please.
Finucane?
Yes.
Winter?
Yes.
Kraft?
Yes.
Lozinski?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Is there a motion to approve item 4C?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion on the sidewalk?
I would second Mrs. Lozinski that I think a lot of the parents would be very happy.
Oh, yeah.
With the sidewalks, especially the ones that are going to be going there for the very first time with their kids. And because Bassett entrance is a great entrance to go in and out of, to be able to avoid a lot of the congestion that's over on Dover Center. So it'll be, especially wintertime, when the kids are you know, really trying to find a place to walk. So.
Will they be able to ride their bikes on that sidewalk? Is that allowed?
They will.
Okay.
Yeah.
One more thing to shovel in the wintertime.
That's okay, we'll take it.
It is a great safety.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Okay, roll call, please.
Finucane?
Yes.
Winter?
Yes.
Kraft?
Yes.
Lozinski?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, moving right along.
My turn. And just something to note that this is a work session, and we typically try not to have this many items on one of these agendas, but this time of year, we just have a lot that happens when the school year closes, so we typically won't have this. One of the things we do have to cover is to pass the resolution to, for the folks who, if you remember, we came to an agreement with OPC to retire and rehire. I believe we had 22 staff members take advantage of this. They are listed on here in the first resolution here. Is to approve those folks participating in that program. The rest are going to be different hirings for the summer. We have a resolution to approve employment for, well, actually staff members in general. I take that back. This is not for summer. This one's for next year as well. We have a number of classified employees coming in, as well as certified employment as well. When you look at the certified employment, We did have two Spanish teachers resign, and we were able to fill both of them. We had a science teacher retire, and we had an art teacher retire as well. So we're able to replace all of them. Then the rest are a resolution for summer employment, resolution for special needs extended year service employment, resolution to approve employment of a student worker, and we do then we have a resolution to approve an increase of salary for a staff member, and this is due to an education increase. And then the last one also has a resolution to for a step increase for the Project Link personnel. So those are the employments. We do have a resolution to approve LPDC members, and I believe this was from this past year. So it's not going into next year, this is a resolution for this past year. And then the final one is to approve the Ohio Schools Council food service contract, and I believe this is for our new dietitian.
Correct.
Yeah, and we did have someone who we were using in the past, but we have moved on to using a dietitian for Ohio Schools Council. We feel that it's gonna serve the kitchens a little bit better.
So how do you want them all separate?
You know what I'd like to do? If I can do the retire, rehire, if I could just do 5A on its own, and then I bundled the rest.
What about 5I? Should that be separate since that's the...
Well, that's a good point. Yeah, let's do that. Let's do 5A, and then 5B through H, and then 5I. I don't think we have to do 5I because it's not a bid, right, Todd?
Correct.
So, I mean, we really could bundle 5I. It's really...
Okay.
So we can go B through I. There you go.
Okay. So is there a motion to approve item 5A?
Second.
Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Kraft?
Yes.
Finucane?
Yes.
Lozinski?
Yes.
Winter?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay. Is there a motion to approve items 5B through I?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion on any of them? Okay, roll call, please.
Kraft?
Yes.
Finucane?
Yes.
Lozinski?
Yes.
Winter?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay. Board policies.
All right, I'm going to go through these. These are, there's only one of these policies that's new, and I'll let Mr. Hopkins talk about it when it's his turn, when that comes up. I'm going to ask him to click through these. These are going to be very quick. When you look at the first one here, and it says district-sponsored clubs and activities, we have a few of these policies that the addition you'll see on page 3. It really just says no student will be denied the opportunity to participate in interscholastic athletics in the district because the student is participating in the College Credit Plus program. So these first three policies, what they wanted to do, and this is part of Ohio law, they wanted to make sure that College Credit Plus students were not being excluded because they were taking classes off campus or in a college. So you're going to see that one for 2430 and then 2430-02, and I also believe that's 2431 as well. You're going to see the same verbiage. So for those three, that's what you're dealing with there. Those are the only changes. Mm-hmm. When you get into 2623, and it says student assessment and academic intervention, this is going to reflect what the state has passed in reducing testing. And if you go to the last page, on page 7, if you could, you can see on it where it says, as of July 1st, 2017, which we haven't hit yet, no student will spend more than 2% of the school year taking state assessments, including the Ohio graduation test and all the other ones as well. So this is something that was mandated that we have to include.
So is that because we are excluding those students? If we go back to the College Credit Plus students, it's just because it's part of state law and we're changing?
Yeah, we're changing it. They changed with testing. You know, the big push is over testing, and that's what they're trying to
go after. How do you mandate to test us and now mandate so that
Correct.
We're not testing?
Well, and actually, when you look it's at the summary day. Of what the Senate passed today, they, I believe, and I don't know if you saw it, Kathy, they were taking out maybe two of the social studies tests.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they were recommending in there, so was it sixth and seventh? What
it's
grades?
It's
fourth and sixth. That's when they're looking to take those out.
And again, eliminating two tests, and that'll take them down to the two.
Who knows? We'll have to look at the numbers.
I would recommend that our politicians at the state level would interact a little bit more with school personnel, educators, and we've been saying that for years. So, yes, I am frustrated with this.
The next one is 312008. This one on page one, this one is a very simple one, and it sounds like it makes a lot of sense. If an employee is going to get paid, they have to have an active pupil activity program permit. So they have to have it into the treasurer in order to get paid. So again, relatively simple change on there. 5111, this just adds like a couple words, and Todd, I believe it's on page four. And what they did is in letter E for enrollment, they had students who are considered by federal law to be illegal aliens, homeless. They added children or youth in foster care. So that's the only change to this policy, is they just made sure they were included. Next one is 5200. These are the attendance changes from House Bill 410, I believe it is. And they're just reflected in our policy now. And our buildings have already been working on, not the buildings, but the people who work in the buildings have been working on that policy and making sure we're in there as well. Purchases, I'm going to switch to Todd, and I know Todd spoke about this with Finance Committee, so they can even chime in if they choose. 6320, this is something we should have had in policy, but we didn't. So this is going to be the only new policy where I think we've had the practice of the $25,000 threshold, but it really hasn't. When that change from OSBA to NEOLA happened, 6320 wasn't originally included. So this is a new policy.
So somehow, yes, 6320 got missed in the original policies going over to NEOLA. So we are adding 6320 into here. That's why when you look at this policy, it will look different where it doesn't show any of the track changes because this is a new policy in our system, at least. The main change and what prompted this is a change in state law. Going back a very long time, the state had a law that said that anytime you would do improvements to your buildings, construction, demolition, or improvements to your buildings, as well as purchases of single item equipment, supplies, materials of over $25,000, you were required to bid to that project through a formal bid and bid opening and all of that. Obviously, and I believe that was actually back in the 70s that law went into place. Obviously, over the past 40 years or so, inflation has happened and things have changed. The state has now changed that to a $50,000 threshold. So we're asking for the board to put in policy that would match the state law at amounts of $50,000 or more would be required to go through the bid package, process. We do have some protections in there for the board as well, saying that anything over $10,000 on a single item, the district is still required to go through and get three price quotations. You know, this isn't something they're saying, oh, hey, we're raising it to $50,000. Oh, we don't have to get other prices. No, we will still get the quotations. The difference is when we go through a formal bid process, we have to engage an architect or engineer, have exact specifications. We pay that architect or engineer. We then have to pay to have it in a legal bid cycle in, I think it's at least one posting in the paper, a general circulation for X number of days. We have to have a formal bid opening. It adds cost to our project of anywhere from 8% to 12%. By raising the bid threshold to $50,000, the projects that are under that, we can save on those costs while still going out to get the best price by receiving quotes or RFQs, requests for quotes, and getting those quotes in from vendors. We just don't have to incur those architect engineer fees. Beyond that, the rest of the policy is very similar to what should be in there, saying that if there's an emergency, the board can declare by two-thirds. If it's a single item available from a single source, we don't have to go through bid if we go through a consortium purchasing. It has a number of pieces in there that is very standard to what you would see in the purchasing what you want in the purchasing. It goes through, you have to have a PO in place, with the exception of when the superintendent would declare an emergency and then would have to bring that to the board at the next board meeting. You know, we have to go out and solicit bids. There are cases where we will look for the lowest responsible bidder, although, and you will see, and I should have pointed out earlier in the bids on the sidewalk, we did exclude a bidder because they did not have a bond. While they were the low bidder, they did not provide a bond that protects the district in case they would default on the work. So we've opted to go a little bit higher, and we threw them out as being a non-responsive bidder. But we also have some, you know, things going in there. We want to check their references. We want to see their financial condition. It allows us to do our homework on businesses before we would actually go out and purchase from them. So, you know, it goes through a very detailed laying down what we can and can't do, allowing blanket POs, super blankets for like utilities. You know, it again puts limitations on what we do as a district to protect the taxpayer dollar.
I know we had an opportunity during the special board meeting, special finance meeting, to review this. I know that we came to the conclusion it is state law. We talked at length with Mr. Kosovar and Mr. Hopkins that we are still going to be very, very competitive, or we want our bids to come in very, very competitively. We're still going to be able to reach out. It's not going to reduce the competition that keeps those bids low. And it seemed to me as well that the old way of doing things actually cost us more.
There are some situations where that's the case, you know, and especially when you look at, and again, we have a very timely meeting tonight because, you know, accepting those two bids tonight, when you look at those bid tabulations, we only had two bidders respond to the air handler units. So this wasn't a situation where we had, you know, 15 bidders and they fought to get the low. I mean, this was two bids. Same, very similar with the concrete work. I believe we had five bids, if I remember correctly. I think it was about five bids. So again, and one was a non-responsive bidder. So, you know, we were really looking at only four bids. So we're not seeing in the general marketplace where people are jumping out at every opportunity for bid work. So it could be in some situations where we're getting more responsive bids by just requesting quotes and targeting businesses.
Good.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Jump into 8210. If you look at page two, this the title of this is school calendar policy. However, the only change when you look at page two is previously, in order to use a blizzard bag, and that's an alternative for a snow day, we needed to have the plan approved by the Ohio Department of Education. Now it gives me the authority to authorize and develop and implement the plan.
So do we still have, when they changed from days to hours, does
you
that
still could.
Make it
you
necessary?
Could.
Oh.
You could. 80, I'm gonna hit three really quick, 8310, 20, and 30. Todd, which one are you gonna pull up, 8310?
8310 is up right
okay.
now.
When you look at 8310, that's a good one because it's on the first page. And all three of these policies deals with the Safe at Home Address Confidentiality Program. What they're saying in this is if we have people who are in that program, this policy protects their records. So if a public records request comes in, we do not have to include them. So that's what these three policies, 8310, 20, and 30, that's the change in there. When you look at 8452, this is in regards to the automatic external defibrillators. And the change in here, when you look at the strikeout, it says that that it may enhance school safety to have an automated AED. And this is saying to enhance school safety and in compliance with state law, the Board of Ed will have the AED. So this is changing it from if we want to have them, we can have them, to you're going to have them. The other thing they put in there, the word they put in was appropriate. So it depends on the level of training certain people need. So you can just determine it as appropriate. So it gave us a little flexibility in there.
Do we give training on those
I believe we do. I know we're even going to extend to everybody with, we just met with St. John West Shore, and they're going to come bring their EMS folks in, and they're going to train everybody, it seems like. Yeah. Food services, this one is probably on the last page, and this, what this says here, this talks about bad debt, and really what this policy is saying is if we decide to go to a collection agency to collect money from the school lunch program, we can't charge, we can't pass the cost of the collection agency to the federal grants. Correct?
Correct.
Yeah. So that's what that in the food service does. The final one is going to be similar. The reason I didn't put it in with the other College Credit Plus is it does have an extra twist. If you look at the very first page, you see how it crosses out homeschooling, and it says participation in extracurricular for students not enrolled in the district. It's going to do the same thing as the previous policy changes, where it's going to include College Credit Plus, but it also puts a strikeout on the end, where previously, if someone who was homeschooled, they create a diploma or a certificate, I had to sign it. And so if a student was being homeschooled and they did submit a plan, you know, whether I got to grade the papers or really confirm any of it, I had to sign their diploma that they had. This takes that away. So Ohio law has removed that responsibility. That's probably why they took it out. So that's the policies.
All right.
Like I said, they're pretty straightforward.
First reading, we vote on in the next meeting?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yep.
So that brings us to board comments.
I have none. You look surprised.
Okay. John?
I would just like to thank all of the parent volunteers who went to the DC trip.
Oh, thank you, John. Yes.
Including my wife, so I have to make sure. Second year old, she's done.
I'm assuming they had a great time. I haven't really heard much feedback at all. So
no news is good news.
I guess no news is good news.
I think a good time was had by all.
Good. Good.
An appropriate time was had by all.
Thank you.
Good. Okay. We don't have a second.
Not enough.
Sorry, you guys can't say anything. Okay, is there a motion to adjourn?
So,
second.
Roll call, please.
To adjourn at 7:15 p.m. Kraft?
Yes.
Finucane?
Yes.
Lozinski?
Yes.
Winter?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Thank you all for being here.